listener production.
Please leave your message after the tone.
Why am I jealous of my ex?
I am so stressed all the time.
How do I get into a routine?
Is TikTok making me anxious?
I think I'm being manipulated.
Someone told me you could live with half a brain.
This is Do You Fucking Mind? Mindset Hacks for a Badass Life. Hosted by me, Alexis Fernandez.
Hello, beautiful beans, and welcome to the episode of today. So in this episode, we're going to be talking about, well, answering, I should say, all your questions. And by all your questions, I mean three of your questions. There's literally thousands that I've got banked up. So we kind of go through them and pick out the ones that we think would be, you know, good for an episode. Hopefully one day I can get through all the questions at one point. One can only dream. Anyway, this is a Head Noise episode. We're listening to your stories, your questions. You're basically wanting my advice on these big, big life things. Keep in mind that it obviously is just my advice. That's all it is. Let's get straight into it with the first question. And the title of this email is An Affair for Over 10 Years. Hectic. Okay, let's get straight into it. Hi, love. Listening to your show, I love how gutsy you are, and I'm actually in the older age group of listeners, but feel so excited that younger women like yourself speak openly and with strength about matters that you cover. Thank you. Anyway, about 2 years ago, a close friend of mine divulged to me that she had been having an affair for over 10 years. At the time, I was just out of a terrible breakup and I was very vulnerable. She came to me with a message of, I'm confused as what to do. I chose to believe her, so I took it upon myself to trust that was what she wanted. But looking back, I think she just was looking for someone else to condone her behavior. 2 years later, I was completely messed up, as every time I pointed her in the direction of what she needed to do to help herself, she would come up with yet another excuse. There were hundreds of excuses. I finally realized her lies got worse at every turn and reminded me of the nature of addiction. As the weight of the information got heavier, I started to desperately want to share it with her closest friend. Eventually, that's what happened. Her best friend and myself are both holding this information and we feel deeply for her husband. But we realize that a 10-year affair is completely going to implode on the family as they have kids and it will destroy them. It's such a big decision either way. If we say nothing, she will continue with this relationship as I'm pretty certain she's highly addicted to the dopamine that she gets from being in the relationship. If we do say something to him, then we watch it all completely break down and that's a difficult pill to swallow and a huge responsibility to take on. I have a sense of what you're going to say, but it's been really exhausting. And I have a third option, which is to completely walk away from the whole thing and let her deal with her life the way that she is deciding to make it. I'd love to get your thoughts on it. Cheers. More. I've set strict boundaries about what it would take for me to trust her again, and she has completely ignored my requests. I no longer hang out with her. Okay. So, that's extremely hectic. I think that it's a very difficult situation when you are put in a position of handling information that you almost wish you didn't have. It's kind of, you've now burdened me with this information and now I feel like I'm being unfair to someone else simply for knowing about it. I have no control over the situation and now I feel like I have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to make you do the right thing, or I've got a responsibility to let your husband know. Then you've got these thoughts of like, if the husband knows, it will destroy him, but does he deserve to know? Because he also deserves to know that he's loved the way he loves her. You know, there's so many layers to it. And I think that when it comes to these situations with affairs, I think if you're going to have an affair, it's extremely selfish to be like, I'm doing the wrong thing, but so I feel better, I'm going to burden you with my wrongdoing so then I can get it off my chest and then continue to do the wrong thing. It's extremely unfair. If you're going to have an affair and you're set on having the affair, deal with the guilt on your own. Don't fucking bring other cunts into the picture and be like, now we can share the burden. Now I can feel like, oh, you know, I've spoken about it. I've shared it with somebody. They're making me feel a little bit better. And then when I'm really sad about it, I can have someone say, oh, you're not a bad person. It's okay, whatever. If you've got to own your shit, and if you're going to have the affair, you've got to look at yourself in the mirror every single day and be like, this is me. This is what I'm choosing to do. This is my decision. And I know that there are many, 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 many different reasons why people have affairs. And due to that, I'm going to say my next piece of advice due to that, I personally myself, I would not tell the other person unless my loyalties lied with the other person, if that makes sense. So for example, my friend Liv, if I found out that her partner was cheating on her, absolutely, I'm going to be telling her what's going on because my loyalties lie with Liv. But if Liv was cheating on her partner, I would feel extremely uncomfortable. And if Liv was going to do nothing about it, then I think that it would be more so, can I have a friendship with Liv when our morals are so far apart? You've obviously just gone and said that you are not hanging out with her anymore. If that's the case, I think that I personally would not, like if the friendship isn't there anymore, I definitely would not intervene in any way, shape or form. I think that the burden should not be placed on you. You've done nothing wrong. And I don't think that you should be responsible for having to tell somebody and then, because you tried to do the right thing, then feeling responsible for a marriage or a family breaking apart. I think it's a really, really ugly position to find yourself in. And I think it's extremely unfair when people put other people in that position. So that's the first bit of information that I thought I'd cover. Another thing to really consider is, you know, this has been going on for 10 years. It's not going to change. When someone carries an affair on for 10 years, they have their own personal reasons, whether you agree with them or not, it's irrelevant. They have their own personal reasons as to why the affair needs to continue and why they're refusing to leave the marriage or why they're refusing to tell their partner about the affair. Whatever those reasons are, obviously, no one can get inside someone else's head. And if it's been going on for 10 years, the likelihood of it needing to end, the person she's having an affair with obviously is okay with this dynamic. Clearly, it's a 10-year thing. They've obviously come to terms with the fact that like, yep, this is our situation. You know, the way the marriage is going, it's going in a way that obviously is working for her, at least. I don't know about the husband. So I guess you've got to look at it as this is not going to change. This situation is not going to change. She's not going to stop the affair. She's not going to tell her husband. It's been going on for 10 years. What would it take for something to change? Probably nothing, right? Unless someone else comes in and tells the husband, she's not really going to change. So I think your issue here really is how she is choosing to live her life and you are no longer aligning with where she's at. Because I could understand if a friend came to me and said, I've fallen in love with somebody else. I've crossed the line. I've cheated. I need to end my marriage and this and that. And I'm in this turmoil and I've got to figure out how I'm going to go through the steps. I'm not going to turn around and say, I'm going to tell your partner now. I'm going to let them work it out at their own pace. I'm going to be like, all right, now you know what you need to do. You've got to figure it out. But if they said, I'm just going to have this ongoing affair forever, I would be like, listen, unless you can be honest with your partner, because that's really unfair to them, I now can't have a friendship with you because I don't want to be the one that has to break it to them. But I also don't want to be involved in this situation. So basically my answer is you don't have to get involved if you don't want to, if that makes you feel really uncomfortable, if you feel that then the flip side of it is even worse than the current situation, but you obviously it's jarring for you to have this friendship. I would also in that situation, probably back away. I'd step away and probably not want to be that involved with the friendship. And also, I'm sorry, but she seems based on your letter, she seems quite selfish because you're saying that, you know, you need all these things from her for you to trust her again. And she's ignored the request. She doesn't really care about you trusting her, which means that she probably doesn't value the friendship as much as you thought she did. Hopefully that helped. That's a hectic story, juicy story. And I, you know, hope that the husband is at the very least happy. Okay, next question. This one is called A Situation Shit. Love that name so much. I'm loving these creative titles. Rolling hot with the creative titles, please. Hi, Alexis. Love the podcast. Your episodes have been a lifesaver over the past 18 months as I've struggled through a breakup and moving cities. Quick question. Not sure if you've addressed it, but here goes. I've got myself into a bit of a situationship. Backstory. I met a boy traveling 6 years ago in a hostel and had a one-night thing. We lived on opposite sides of the world, so occasionally kept in contact, but we both got into relationships, so contact died out. When I broke up with my ex, I messaged him as I was heading back overseas. I ended up flying to his city last minute. We had an amazing weekend together, you know, and then I flew back home. We had a few months no contact due to work stuff going due to work stuff / going off the grid, and then he reinitiated contact. I have since ended up moving to the same country as him. This has nothing to do with him. And we have met up again twice. Again, both times he mainly initiated. When we hang out, it is literally like we are dating for the weekend. I'm talking flowers, home-cooked dinners, holding hands in public, sleeping together, but also just hanging out and really enjoying each other's company. Lots of banter, talking about friends, family, etc. Recently, I think I'm starting to get the feels. How predictable. We have used the term fuck buddies before. He has mentioned that he is emotionally unavailable and that we know what we are getting when we catch up. Having just moved countries, I'm not really looking to date at the moment, so I enjoy this fling, but part of me wishes it could develop into something more. My friends keep telling me to end it as they think that he is using me for what he wants, but I'm not doing anything to change it. I don't know how to proceed without ruining what we already have and don't want to keep ruminating on the what if. Please help. Okay. I think what might be happening is you're saying that you're already starting to catch feels for him. I know that people say that actions speak louder than words, and they do for the most part. However, lack of actions also speak louder than words. So yes, you can look at your interaction with him on the weekend and say, this is really sweet. He's buying me flowers. Like, this guy's romantic. This guy's got, like, he's thinking of me before we meet up and doing things. He's initiating. He's this, he's that. But we're talking about two weekends so far, okay? Then you're looking at what he's saying to you during these catch-ups. You know, we're fuck buddies. We know what we're getting ourselves into. I'm emotionally unavailable. I'm this, I'm that. This person, he clearly enjoys your company. But he clearly knows where it stands. Because to say to someone, put it this way, nobody in their right mind is saying to someone that they like and they want it to go deeper with on an emotional level and on a romantic level, is saying, I'm emotionally unavailable, like I don't want, you know, basically I'm not looking for a relationship. No one's saying that, okay? So he's saying that to you is because it's what he means. Who's to say things will change in the future? No one's to say. So what you have to go off is what they're giving you. And he's giving you fuck all when it comes to, I want to explore this further as far as an intimate relationship is concerned. So you've got your answer from him. Now you've got to look at what you're going to do about it. What control can you have over this situation? Because you said, I'm not looking for a relationship. I've just moved to another city. That's your logical mind speaking, which is fine. That's you saying logically, I don't think it's a good idea to get into a relationship because I want to be out there meeting people, exploring all of these tick, tick, tick. All of these things make sense. I agree to an extent on a logical level. However, your emotions when it comes to falling for someone, they don't give a fuck about your logic. When it comes to love and lust, logic goes out the window. So you could have these ideals of this is why I've moved here, but then your emotions are getting the better of you. And you saying to yourself, oh, you know, I'll put my emotional wall up. I won't do these certain things. I'm not going to get attached to him. That doesn't stop you from getting attached. Okay. Lack of vulnerability does not stop you from getting hurt. You can be not vulnerable at all, not opening up, pretending it's just a situationship and getting just as hurt as if you were vulnerable and open and, you know, in love with somebody and they were reciprocating the love for you. Because it all comes down to what your feelings were about loving them. And I think a lot of people think that, oh, well, if I have my wall up, if I'm not vulnerable, if I pretend that I just want a situationship, if I pretend that I don't want anything further, if I'm getting the feels, but I just pull back a bit, then it'll be fine. No, it won't be fine. You're still going to be developing these feelings more and more and more and more. This person's on your mind. You're enjoying these catch-ups. Every time you catch up, you're likely adding more fuel to the flame that's growing. You can't just switch that off like a light bulb. So knowing what you know, you got to really ask yourself, am I truly, because be honest with yourself, because the only person you're going to fuck around is yourself. So be honest. Say, am I actually getting feelings for this person? You know the answer straight away. There's no, you don't need much digging internally. You don't need much insight into your, like, it's a pretty clear thing. And you might not want to admit it out loud. You don't have to. You just have to admit it in your head. Yes or no? And if the answer is yes, and you've got the answer for him, you need to pull the fuck away. Okay? Or you need to go all in vulnerable and say, I know I said I didn't want anything casual, but I'm starting to like you. Would you consider exploring this thing? Because if you're going to walk away regardless, well, not regardless, but if you're going to walk away if the answer is no, then there's nothing wrong with putting it out on the line. But if you know for sure that he wants nothing from it, and I don't know if you've got that 100% concrete, but if you do have that answer, then I would not be investing time in someone that I had a crush on who I knew didn't like me back. I would never, ever, 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 mind you, I have in the past done that. And it is soul destroying. It is so painful to invest your time, which you would never get back, and your emotions and your energy and hope and your dreams on somebody who deep down you know does not reciprocate. And it's so fucked when it does blow up in your face, because then not only do you have the pain of someone leaving you, which is inevitable, that's okay, but then you have the pain of being like, I knew that I was, you know, investing more time and more emotions and it was growing and I was spending, it was just, I knew it. I knew that they weren't feeling me and I was just really hopeful that something would change. Okay. So don't try and trick yourself. You have to be honest with yourself. That's one of the best ways to improve your relationship with yourself. Say, I know this situation sucks. I know that I might be losing someone that I really enjoy hanging out with. I know I might be falling in love, but if they don't love me back, this is the time where I have to protect myself, you know, because vulnerability is all well and good if the other person's also interested in opening up and being vulnerable. But if someone's saying, I don't want anything with you, and then you're investing, what are you saying to yourself? You're saying, oh, I don't care throwing myself under the bus. I'm happy to throw myself under the bus. You have to take what is given at face value. And if they're giving you, I don't want a relationship, you say, thank you very much for your honesty. I appreciate it. Okay. And I, you know, you're saying you're getting the feels. It's really hard to turn that around once that begins. Really fucking hard, especially if the weekends are as good as you say they are. Those weekends sound unbelievable. Okay. You're not going to keep having these amazing weekends and be like, oh, those feels that were growing are now gone. You're going to need like some crazy ick to get over this person and keep the situationship going. And then icks ruin situationships anyway. But I have a whole episode on icks, so check it out. Hopefully that helped. Good times. Also, love that you moved to another country. Congratulations. I fucking love this so much for you. Next question. Title: Hope is a weak dog, or is it? Dear Alexis, thank you for your pod. I've been a long-time listener since 2020. Oh, I love that. Since back in the day. And it's really helped me grow a backbone and cut out toxic people from my life. Thank you for writing in. I have a question. I want to know how you would approach this. I've been dating a guy for 4 years. We're not married and in our early 30s. Our relationship is amazing. Healthy, open communication. The love is so strong. Physical intimacy is great. And our values and morals align. All but one. This is a greatly written fucking email, by the way. I'm loving it. The question of to have kids or not. He does not want kids and I do. We've discussed extensively both our reasons why, to the point that our conversations were going in circles. The easy thing to do would be to end it so neither of us resents each other in the long term. But we're both still here fighting for the relationship. We've decided to see a couples therapist and they've been great with providing an outsider's perspective. I've made my stance super clear that my mind is not going to change. A part of me is holding on to hope because the fact that he's willing to still go to therapy shows that he's trying, but after numerous sessions, nothing has changed. I know his mind can't change overnight, but we've been having the discussion on and off for a year now. He hasn't given me any reason to believe that his mind will change other than agreeing to go to therapy with me. His reasons are deeply rooted in how he was raised. I know how dangerous holding on to hope is, though. You always say hope is a weak dog. How long is too long to hold on to hope? I don't want to lose the amazing thing we have if there's a possibility he might change his mind, but I also don't want to wait around forever because it becomes harder and harder to have a child the older you get. I'm not trying to have a child now, but would like one in around 5 years. Thank you for your advice and perspective. This is such a fucking difficult situation that you're finding yourself in. And it breaks my heart when I see people in these really healthy, flourishing relationships. And this is what's, you know, like this big issue that's kind of like pulling them apart. It's really, really sad. And I think what's so sad about it is that the desire to have children, and mind you, I'll go into both of them. The desire to have children is a very, very, very natural, instinctive desire to have. True that not everyone has it. But if you have it, you should never be made to choose to not do it. Yes, there might be situations in your life that cause you to never have children, whether it's physical reasons that you can never have your own child, whether life just never goes that way for you, and that might be the case. But you should always be, if you want children, you should do everything in your power, I think, to have the possibility to explore that option. Okay. I don't think, you know, if you're with a partner that says, I just don't want kids, I think that kind of, that's not even a compromise. That is a massive, massive sacrifice. It's not a compromise. Okay. So you've got to look at that. It's like, am I willing to make such a massive sacrifice? How would I ever, you know, and I don't think you are. I think your options are, he either turns around and decides to have children, or I leave him. They're your two options. Okay. Because, and that's fair, because this desire to have a child is instinctive, not just in humans, but in so many different animals, mammals, all animals. Okay. So you've got to look at that and say, okay, I've got to honor myself and do my best, because if I don't, I will resent him, the marriage, if we get married, forever. Like I'll really struggle. So I think you've already sorted that in your head though. I think you're very well aware that having children is a non-negotiable for you. So that's that. Not having children, to already be in your 30s and be so definite that you don't want children, I think as difficult as it is, I think one good thing about it is that he is so sure that he doesn't want kids. What would be fucking annoying would be like, I don't know yet, let's wait another year. I don't know yet, let's wait another year. Because it is true, the older you get, especially as a woman, but also for men, but for women, it's going to get harder. Not for everyone, but in general, that's just what the data says. So you also don't want to be fucked around. So the fact that he's been straight up and said, I don't want children, is great. Now, I also think that maybe one of the reasons why he's decided to go to couples therapy is because he loves you. He cares about you. He doesn't want to be like, don't want kids. So let's just fucking break up now. Like, he also doesn't want this thing to end. No one wants this thing to end. It's something that's separate to the two of you. It's not like personal issues directly with each other. It's this life desire that either of you, that both of you have. Yours is to have children and him is to have a life without children. And then on the flip side, he can't make that sacrifice. That's a huge fucking sacrifice to say, I don't want children, and then to have them. Because what if he has them for you and then he can't fulfill the role as a parent that you would want him to do, or that he was like, well, I wish I was a better parent, but I'm just not, this is just not me. And I don't want this life, and I might love my child, but I resent the life, the lifestyle. You don't want it. You'd never want someone to begrudgingly have a child for you either. So I think what you really have to, firstly, you've got to ask yourself, how delusional is this hope of mine for him to want a child? Because it really sounds like he's been very clear. And it sounds awful what I'm going to say, but if it's clear that he doesn't want a child and that you absolutely have to have a child, then you don't, there aren't three possibilities now. There's two possibilities. So the three possibilities are you leave him and then you explore your other options for having a child with somebody who wants a child. You stay with him and you never have children, or you stay with him and he turns his mind around and you decide to have children. Those are the three options. But it looks like there's actually only two options here, because he's been pretty clear. He's not said, I don't know. He's not stringing you along. He said, I don't want children. Okay. And the therapy thing is not weird to me. That to me isn't, oh, maybe he'll change his mind. The therapy thing to me is, I'll do anything to try and stay with you. I love you. I don't want to lose you, but my mind isn't changing, kind of thing. Okay. But then again, I'm not in your therapy sessions. I don't know if there's been sparks of hope or not, but it doesn't sound like it. So now your two options are stay with him and never have children, or break up and have children. And that is so fucking hard. I actually know a couple, not well, they're actually friends of a friend of mine, and they were very similar position to yours, very, very, very similar position. And they ended up ending things for that exact reason. She was in her mid-30s or coming into her mid-30s. And she left, he never pulled the pin, because the hard thing is he didn't want kids. But for him, he's like, well, I don't know exactly when it is that you want kids. So I'm going to stay with you for, like, I never want to pull, I love you. I want to be with you. I don't have some like ticking time bomb of this child that I have to have by a certain, so he's like, so he was never going to pull the pin. Because for him, it's like, I just don't want kids. But for her, she's like, well, not only do I want kids, but I now have to leave you, grieve, find someone else, meet someone, and then have a child. So then she ended up having to pull the pin, and she also moved cities because she's like, I want a fresh start. I need to get away because I love you so much that I'm worried that I'm just going to slip back into my old ways. Now she has met somebody else and they have a child. This is years ago. And she's thrilled. And I actually don't know where he's at the moment. I'm hoping he's happy too. But she had to make the fucking really hard call. And I think that you should never deny yourself of this true desire that you have. I think, look, ultimately it comes down to your therapy sessions. They're going to be way more in depth than what I could ever give you from my advice here. But what I don't want you to do is I don't want you to, you know, be holding on for another 5, 6, 7 years still hoping. And then being 40, thinking, fuck, you know. I mean, another option that you could do obviously is like freeze your eggs and wait and this and that, but there's still going to be, you know, it's still this idea if you don't want to have to wait forever. That's not what this is about, because you also don't want to say, oh, I'm just doing everything possible so I'll keep waiting for you to change your mind. You also do want to respect his decision as well. Just like he probably would love for you to change your mind, but he probably doesn't want to push that on you either. So that's kind of my answer in saying that if you deep down know his answer, then really the only option for you to truly be happy is to have another, like explore another avenue outside of this relationship to have a child, which breaks my heart because it's really nice to hear about really healthy relationships. But ultimately you've got to think, how are we both going to be truly fulfilled in our life? We can't be forcing each other to make such a huge sacrifice either way, because children, that's like the biggest decision you're ever going to make in your entire life. So you don't want to make it, you don't make the wrong one for somebody else. Okay. Hopefully that helped. Thank you so much for sharing your stories, everyone. Thank you so much for sending in. And I'm loving these like titles of the stories. They're great. So keep them coming. Keep these creative titles. They like jump out at me and I love them. That is all. Love you guys so much. Shout out to my global beans around the world. Shout out to my Manhattan beans. Love you so much. And my Perth beans. I have a lot of beans in Perth. So huge shout out to my Perth beans. As always, remember, be kind to yourself, be kind to your brain. Don't take shit from anyone, and especially don't take shit from yourself. Danke. Listener.